But before you open the Word of God, please remember to pray for Deanna Rouse. Psalm chapter 2, a psalm that is so profound. All of them are, this song of Jesus and about Jesus. In Psalm 2, I want to key today on verse 12. It says, "Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you be destroyed in your way. For his wrath can flare up in a moment, but blessed are all who take refuge in him." Our Father who art in heaven, far above us in every aspect, Jesus, our King and our Savior, and Holy Spirit, teach us today. Counsel us. Convict us. Show us how this word applies to us. And more importantly, help us to live it to the glory of God. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 2 has a profound theme. It is about God enthroning His Son over all the world and all the rulers and all the leaders. It's a picture of the world in rebellion and its kings and its peoples in rebellion to God. And God's solution to that rebellion is to install His Son as King. In verse 12 is the admonition to take refuge in Him. Now, if you are taking refuge in something, you must be fleeing from something. Right? If I say, "Hey, come in from the storm. Take refuge." You're coming in from the storm. But what if your refuge was in the storm? You ever hear about the eye of a hurricane? Most peaceful place. So my question today is, what and who are we taking refuge from? You may be thinking many things. Some may be thinking, well, taking refuge from the world, taking refuge from our adversary. What if I told you that you need to take refuge from God? You say, what? Take refuge from God? What if I told you that the unchanged, unconverted, in need of a new heart and mind person, the average person, is the enemy of God? What if I told you that anyone who does not have their faith in Christ for their salvation is the enemy of God? I told you about it a little bit last week, did I not? Romans 8 and verse 7 says that the carnal mind is enmity against God and is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. In Christ alone, there is judgment and there is mercy. And it's going to be either one for humanity. Either we will find mercy in Christ alone, or we will be under judgment. My message is really simple. And it's this, that we need to take refuge by faith in Jesus Christ. Take refuge by faith in Jesus Christ, who is our King. That is the only place of safety. And in Christ, you see, you have a meeting of two things. You have a meeting of judgment, either from Him or by Him. I'm going to explain what I mean by that. You will either be judged by Him now or later. There is judgment coming. Would you like your judgment now or later? Like that old commercial. I think it was a Midas commercial about brakes or muffler. He said, "You can pay me now or later." We all know that later judgment and the later payment is much worse. You ever have a car that needs fixing? You just let it go and go and go. And it finally breaks. You say, oh, if I had only changed the oil at 3,000 miles rather than 30, I'd still have an engine. Okay? The same is with God. God is going to judge the world. Now, people don't like to hear that. People say, well, you know, I don't believe in a God who judges. I don't believe a God who punishes. God is both a God of judgment and mercy. We need to look at the whole biblical picture. And some might say, I can't worship a God who would destroy people. I couldn't worship a God that would have people in eternal torment. Yes, you will. Because he says, every knee will bow. And every tongue will confess that he is Lord. In the book of Psalms, chapter 85 and verse 10, I'll just quote this from the Old King James. And it says this, that mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. What that psalm is saying, that in God there is both judgment and mercy. There is both righteousness and peace. How can you have both? It's the essence of the gospel. God cannot be a God of mercy unless he is also a God of judgment. For if he's not a God of judgment, who needs mercy? If he's all mercy, there's no need, right? For judgment. God's justice demands that sin be punished. God does not say, okay, because of grace, that you're under grace, and that God is love, you can just go on sinning. And you know, that's all right. That's all right. It's all right that you stole. It's all right that you lied. There are no consequences. No. God's mercy allows for a substitute. His judgment demands payment for sin. He can't just wink at it. He just can't say, oh, it's all right. He demands judgment and punishment. But God's mercy allows a substitute. Here's the beautiful part of the gospel. Allows a substitute to pay for and take the penalty of his righteous judgment and pay the price. And God's love provides his son. God's love. So you have judgment for sin. He has mercy by providing a substitute. And that substitute out of God's love is his son, Jesus Christ. Have you fled to the refuge of Christ? Are you simply saying, well, you know, I come to church or I hear the word and I know there's a God, but I know God's love and he will not have judgment upon me. Is that what the scripture teaches? Justice, mercy, and love in the incarnate Son, who is also the King, is the gospel presented in the Psalms. Look at Psalm 2. Look at Psalm 2. Notice in verse 9, he says, you will rule them with an iron scepter. And last week I brought that iron scepter, or at least a type of it. And an iron scepter can be used to bless, show mercy, or judgment. Have you ever seen movies or plays in which there's a king, and the king's enemies are brought before him, and he stands there with his scepter? And he asks, shall he live or die? And he has the power of life and death in his hands. And so does God. And thumbs up, right? He lives. And what does this mean? He dies off of his head. Right? God is a king. And notice what it says here. You will rule them with an iron scepter, and you will dash them to pieces like pottery. Would God dash his enemies to pieces like pottery? And once you break pottery, you can't put it back together. Would God do that? Speaking of his son here, the king. Therefore, you kings, be wise. Be wise. Be warned, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Being in fear of God, being in awe of Him. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of God. You say, well, I came to church today to hear an uplifting message. I didn't come to church today to hear something about God dashing us to pieces. God destroying us. Guess what? We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I don't care if you are old like me or young like some of y'all. You're born bad to the bone. That's what Scripture reveals. That we're all born sinners in need of a Savior. And that Savior can dash us to pieces, or it could use that scepter to save us. Life and death are in the hands of God. Ezekiel 33:11 says, though, God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He does not want any to be lost. Yet we know that all will not flee to Him in refuge. And this message, my purpose today, for those of you who are listening on the internet and those who are listening here now, this is a call to come to the King. This is a summons. This is a plea that you no longer halt between two positions and be comfortable in between, because there is no in between. You are either in the kingdom of light or the kingdom of darkness. And the only way to be in the kingdom of light is through Jesus Christ. There's no neutral position. Today is the day of salvation. There is coming a time. I've said it before and I will repeat it again. There's coming a time. There will be no more opportunity. And that may be tomorrow. For some of us, that may be 10 years from now. And only God can do it. But I'm saying to you, by the word of the Lord, that we must take our refuge in Him. And He says in verse 10, kings, therefore, be wise, be warned, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, He says in verse 12. Kiss the Son? Embrace Him. Love Him. Put your faith in Him. Abide in Him. He is your only salvation. Kiss the Son. Flee to Him. Notice verse 12 again. Or lest He be angry. Can God be angry? Yes, against sin. But He has a righteous anger. He's not trying to get even. See, we say, oh, I'm angry because of something they did to me. No, it's about His glory. It's about everything and every enemy that is against Him. And this whole world is in rebellion to God. And one way or another, we will submit unto the Son. For His wrath can flare up in a moment. Would God destroy anyone? Yes. There is a real hell, where there will be eternal separation from God. You say, well, God is everywhere. Yes, God even is in hell. But not to bless, but to curse. But all who take refuge in His Son, it says, all who take refuge in Him are blessed. Blessed with the presence of God. Blessed with His joy, His peace. And for things that we can't even imagine. Make God, make Jesus Christ your refuge. He was sent to crush the nations. But the amazing thing happened. He came and was crushed for the nations. Isaiah 53, verse 5. And He was crushed for our iniquities. He became sin for us. Isn't that a wonderful thing? If you believe it, then receive it. He is our refuge. Notice, the one who can destroy us is also the one who can save us. Imagine that. Look at this in Psalm 46. We sang it. We sang or sang along with it, the song we played during the offering. I will not be moved. Notice, Psalm 46, verse 1. You know, Charles Spurgeon, the great English evangelist in the 1800s, said, you cannot have a person to desire salvation until they realize they're lost. If you have not received Christ and put His faith, your faith in Him and Him alone, you're lost. But if you do, look at what it says. You don't have to fear anything. Psalm 46, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength. Jesus is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. You don't have to fear anything, even death, because life just gets better after death. You don't have to fear disease. You don't have to fear destruction. You don't have to fear terrorist attack. You don't have to fear being, I won't say that, deported. You don't have to fear it. If you're listening in that situation, and I run to people all the time, every day, who talk about their fear of being deported. If God is your refuge, your life is safe. And when I say that, I run into students who are worried. So you can worry about your sickness, you can worry about your health, you can worry about death. But if God is your refuge, you will not be moved. He's a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. You say, well, Pastor, it sounded like a sermon on fear in your first part. Yes, because if you're not in Him, if you're not in Him as your refuge, then you have no stability, no confidence. And yes, I would be afraid if I was not in Him. I don't have to fear death. Jesus told some disciples, do not fear man who can take your life, who can kill your body, but fear God who can take your soul. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, earthquakes, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There's a river, whose streams may glad the city of God. And that's the Holy Spirit. The holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. God is with you. And she will not fail. God will help her at the break of day. Nations are in uproar. We read that in the first part of Psalm 2, where they conspire together. And it says, and God laughs at them. Look at these plans. They're going behind closed doors to conspire and to bring about their plans for evil. I don't need electronics snooping, God says. I'm omnipresent. I'm back there with them. I am everywhere. And I laugh at their plans, for they will come to nothing. I will even use their plans to accomplish my purpose. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. And he lifts his voice and the earth melts. We don't have to worry about the things going on in politics and amongst nations and conspiracies. We don't have to worry about that if our faith is in God. And he is our refuge. The Lord Almighty is with us. We sang at the beginning of service, a mighty fortress is our God. The God of Jacob is our fortress. He is our city. He is our refuge. This is how we need to live, with boldness and confidence and faith in our King, who is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and in Him there is safety. In Him there is refuge. In Him is life, eternal, and blessings. It's in Him. The God who saves is the God who destroys. The God who destroys is the God who saves. What side of that do you want to be on? I want to be on the God and in Him who saves. Interesting, the Passover. Y'all heard the story of Israel and Egypt, right? Passover night, some were destroyed and killed, and some lived. Who lived? Who found life? Those whose refuge was Christ, the Lamb. Think about it. He told them to kill a lamb. He which is to bring life dies, is crushed. The blood was to be on the doorpost, right? We look at our homes and our abodes as places of refuge. The blood is over. The blood of the Lamb is over the doorpost. And all who were in that refuge lived. Those who had another refuge, right? Think about it. Who had no blood on the doorpost, who did not by faith make God their refuge, they were destroyed. They were destroyed by God. God is either the source of your life or the source of your death. Which will it be? Paul said, our gospel is a savor of death to some and a savor of life to others. The very gospel I'm preaching today can be of life or death. Deuteronomy 28, God says, I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life, that you and your seed, your household may live. It is interesting also that in the Passover, there were some who were of other nations. All nations, they were called a mixed multitude, took refuge in the blood of the Lamb, and they were saved. All who did not were destroyed. Who is your dwelling place? Who is your, and what is your place of safety? Let me tell you something. Is the day of judgment coming? All those who have their faith in Christ are judged now. Did you realize that? You're going to be judged one way or the other. If you put your faith in Christ, God judges you. But remember how He judges you. Mercy and judgment. Through Christ, mercy triumphs over judgment. Triumphs over judgment. For by mercy, God allows a substitute, Jesus Christ, to take our judgment. That's beautiful. And we receive God's mercy and God's love. Isn't that wonderful? Where are you? Are you in Christ? That's a term that Paul uses over and over theologically for all those who have faith in Christ. They are in Christ. We were judged. If you have your faith in Christ, you were crucified with Christ. God puts you there retrospectively, that your sins were judged and punished in Jesus. When Jesus rose from the dead, you were in Him. He's your refuge. And you're seated with Him in heavenly places. Isn't that wonderful? You receive His righteousness. He received your sin. There is coming a judgment. Come to 2 Thessalonians. You don't want the judgment I'm going to read about now. You want the one I just described of being in Christ. That's the one you want. And that's why I said we must flee, run into the shelter. Sometimes I'm out cutting the grass, and I got to get that grass cut, or I got to get this done in the garden. And the storm's coming up, right? It's beginning to lightning and thunder. I say, oh, but that's a long way away. And people say, when they're young sometimes, well, you know, I'll come in later. I'll turn to the Lord later. I'm not sure yet. And I got all this, and I may not be perfect. And I don't want to receive Christ yet because I may mess up. Well, mercy. Mercy triumphs over justice. God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you. Payback is God. Amen? Not that other thing y'all were thinking. Payback is God. You don't want payback for all your sins and all the things that you've done. You want mercy? Lord, have mercy on me. Christ, have mercy on me. And give relief to you who are troubled. And to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. This is coming. He will punish those who do not know God and who do not obey the gospel. And the gospel calls us to repent and to surrender to the King. To surrender your life. No more excuses. No more trying to do it yourself. I surrender all, we sing, but do we to the Lord? In actuality, they will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord. There's nothing more miserable than be rejected by God and left to yourself. You know how down you can get by yourself? You know how miserable you can be just being you? And that the joy of the Lord is your strength? What if you were shut out from the peace and the joy and the righteousness and the love of God? That's hell. And you are connected to his vengeance, his judgment. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power. On the day he comes to be glorified in his holy people, to be marveled at among all those who have believed. This includes you because you believed our testimony. Our testimony to you. I hope you believe this testimony to you. The same God who comes in glory to raise the saints and glorify them. That same glory of the coming of the Lord. My eyes, we sang that song, my eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He's tramping out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. Glory, glory, hallelujah. When he comes in glory, that same glory that changes his saints from mortal to immortality will be the same glory that destroys the wicked. On the same day, at the same time, some are glorified and some are destroyed by that glory. You need to be fireproof. Are you fireproof? The only way you can be fireproof is that you come into the refuge of the King and you receive his mercy and your judgment is placed on him. With this in mind, verse 11, we constantly pray for you that our God may count you worthy of his calling and that by his power he may fulfill every good purpose for you and every act prompted by your faith. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a message to you, not just for your salvation. But Psalms 2 is about the nations as well. Verse 9, he says, ask, and I will give you the nations. I'm not going to turn back there. What verse is Psalm 2, I think it's verses 9 or 10. Maybe it's 8. He says, I will give you the nations for your inheritance. I'll be specific. It's verse 8. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession, and you will rule them. This message is not just about you saving your skin. It is about the nations. Just as there was a mixed multitude of nations that were saved in the refuge of the blood on the doorposts in the Passover, God has saved you to bring salvation to the nations. In Matthew 28, I won't turn there, verse I think 18, Jesus said, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, etc., etc. It's about the nations. It's about other people. Sometimes we get very selfish about salvation. Oh, God, thank you for saving me, but what about those who are lost? What about those who are his enemy? One final text in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Chapter 5 in verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ as his refuge, you are a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ. See, we were his enemies. See, reconciliation has to do with making one, two parties who are opposing one another. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ. We say, glory, hallelujah, I'm saved. Heaven bound, glory filled. Ain't enough. Ain't enough. Notice the next phrase. And gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Each and every one of you hearing me today, if you've received Christ as your Savior, you also have an obligation to others who do not know Christ as their Savior. Verse 19, that God was reconciling the world, the nations that have been given to Jesus to rule over. The world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. Mercy has triumphed over judgment and committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. You are an ambassador of Christ, representing the kingdom of God, as though God were making his appeal through you and through me. We implore you, we are to implore the world on Christ's behalf. Be reconciled to God. You don't have to be out in the cold. You can come in. Because Jesus went out into the cold and took your penalty. Verse 21, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We are to go to people. Start with your family. Start with your neighbors. Start praying for them. Realize what's at stake. Their very lives. Their eternal lives is at stake. We need to have a sense of urgency about reaching our children and our parents and our cousins and our extended family, people on our job, people in our schools, through prayer, strategic prayer for them, by your example, how you live, how Christ lives through you. They say, wow, there's something different about that person. And that difference is good. And then be ready to give an answer of the hope that lives in you. This is how I'm able to deal with that. Because I've got somebody I'm living in. His name is Jesus. And he took me in, who deserved me to be punished. And he was crushed for me. He can do the same for you. Come to Jesus. That Jesus, imagine, our King would die for us. What an amazing love. Let's share that love. Let's come in, if you haven't come in already. Let's come in to the refuge of Jesus Christ. Father, make all we know your children. Make all we know the inheritance of Christ. And all we meet, let's have that first and foremost on our minds, to reach them, to love them, to pray for them. And those who are here and those who are listening on the internet, Lord, I pray that if they have not made Jesus their refuge, they will simply say, yes, take me, Lord, I'm yours. Take me. I don't want to be under your judgment. I want your mercy. I want your grace. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.